Okay, so we now go on to the words Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, which have already occurred in the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So they are coming again, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And in English, as you know, we say the most merciful, the most compassionate. Our books translate it as beneficent, but unfortunately, even though we have all spent many years in Britain now, our young people even pronounce this word incorrectly. They say beneficent. It's not beneficent. It's not like the word efficient or sufficient. No, it is beneficent. But if it's so difficult, I think there's a much better word, which is compassionate. The most merciful, the most compassionate. If you look at the two words, Rahim and Rahman, the two of them have three consonants which are common. R, H, M. And in Rahman, there is an additional consonant, Noon, the sound N, Rahman, right? So they are more or less the same. So what is the difference? The difference is in the meaning. The difference is in the meaning. The word Rahim, Rahman, sorry, that's Ar-Rahmani Rahim. So let's go in that right sequence. Rahman is considered to be a special attribute of God. Special attribute of God. And that's why Muslims will never call their boys straight Rahman. They will always prefix with Abdul Rahman, the slave of Rahman. No Muslim worth his salt will call their son Rahman. Unfortunately, we don't have that Quranic and background. So in the Ismaili Jamaat, you find people calling their sons straightforward Rahman. It should be Abdul Rahman, yeah? It is a very special name. And although it's a very special name of God, attribute, description, and you already said that this is a living Imam himself, then the word Rahman, although it is special in that sense, but its application is general, meaning this mercy reaches every domain, as Karim also mentioned, every level of creation. So there is mercy for the mineral kingdom, there is mercy for the vegetative kingdom, there is mercy for the animal kingdom, and there is mercy for the rational, the human kingdom, there is mercy for physical world, there is mercy for spiritual. This mercy is everybody's. And there is a really beautiful verse in the Quran. Just to make a note of it, it is Surah 7, Ayat 156. And in the middle of this longish Ayat 156, there is this phrase, "And my mercy embraces all things. Wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay." My mercy embraces or encompasses everything. So this is the concept of Rahman. Special name, but general mercy. In other words, nothing is left out of the mercy of God. Yeah, it's a very beautiful concept, right? I remember that Kamiya Sahib, I think, had asked me the question, why is it mercy? Why Rahman? And at that time also I had mentioned this verse, but I had not given you the reference. So it is Surah 7, Ayat 156, and it is in the middle of the Ayat, okay? It talks about punishment, but then it goes on and talks about my mercy has embraced everything. It's similar, if you like, to the our favorite Ayat in the Quran, which is Ayat An-Nur, Allahu Nuru Samawati Walad, the light of Allah, yes, is in the heavens and the earth, meaning there is nothing outside the light of Allah. In the same way, There is nothing outside the mercy of Allah. And how important that is for us to understand. Right now, with what is happening to our Jamaat in Afghanistan, I hope Mullah gives them that courage to understand that no matter what is happening to them now, they are still within the mercy of the Imam. And we also need to, because the minute we have difficulties, something happens, poor health or something accidental, whatever, loss, we straight away forget that this is all happening within the light and within the mercy of God. So that's the meaning of Rahman. And Rahim, on the other hand, you see, this name is like a common name. So boys are called Rahim. Imam's own son, eldest son, is called Prince Rahim. So Rahim is a common name, but its mercy is very special. That mercy is for the mu'mins. For those who accept the Imam, give bayah to him, and that mercy which they receive is spiritual and intellectual nourishment. That is very, very special. Now to add to that, you know, I'm sure that you are all aware that in the Ismaili Tariqah, in our literature throughout history, the Imam is referred to with two titles. He is called Imamun Nas, which is from the Holy Quran, in the story of Hazrat Ibrahim, and Imamul Muttaqin, two titles of the Imam. So Imamun Nas, the Imam of the people, that's why we call him, and as Imam himself says, that he is the Imam of the time, meaning he covers all human beings. But Imamul Muttaqin, the Imam of the righteous, this is confined to the Ismaili Jamaat, who are the followers, the murids of the Imam of the time. That special mercy. So that's where these two titles also come into being. And now I want to share with you a very interesting discussion in Pir Nasir Khisrau's book, Wajibin. You know, because we are a Batin Tariqa, there's a lot of symbolism. And in the Wajibin, which in English translates as the face of religion, because you recognize people by their faces, don't you? So if you read this book of Pir Nasir Khisrau, you will recognize Islam, the religion of Islam. In this book, Pir Nasir Khisrau says that the nose on the face, the nose is the symbol of the Imam. How? Such an interesting analogy. Pir Nasir says that whether you are awake or whether you are asleep, your nose keeps breathing. And it is the breathing, the inhaling and the exhaling, breathing in and breathing out, which gives you life, which keeps you alive. So he says that those who are awake and they are conscious of the fact, they recognize the fact that this breathing in and out is keeping them alive, these are the muttaqin, the murids, the followers of the Imam. They know that he, the Imam, is keeping them alive. And those who are asleep in a state of like unconsciousness, the breathing is what keeps them alive, but they don't realize it because they are sleeping. And that is a description of people who have not yet recognized the Imam. The vast majority, in other words. So it is the Imam's Nurani power that keeps them alive as well. And that's why he is called Imamun Nas. It's a very beautiful, beautiful analogy, and I think it will help you to understand Rahman and Rahim, Imamul Nas and Imamul Muttaqin. Okay. So after that we have Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Is that right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmani Rahim. Sorry. Maliki Yawmiddin. First. Maliki Yawmiddin. So, Maliki Yawmiddin. This Yawmiddin is a very interesting word. In your translation in the book, it will simply say, he is the Lord of the Day of Judgment. Right? But which judgment? How? In what way? Doesn't answer any of our questions, this phrase, the Lord of the Day of Judgment. Let's break it down. The word Malik. Malik means owner, possessor, Lord, all these words, Malik. Again, here I have to tell you that the Arabic language is fascinating because you can have Malik, you can have Malik, short, or Malik, long. So there are many Malik in Nas. For instance, in Surah Nas, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malik in Nas. See, it's not Malik there, it's Malik, Malik in Nas, right? So that is the beauty of the Arabic language. Here in our Surah Al-Fatiha, it is Malik Yawmiddin, Malik, Malik Yawmiddin, owner, possessor, Lord of Yawm, day, day. And here I want to bring in something else because this is a common mistake in our Jama'at, that the word Din, Din, is also, there is a variation here. If you just heard D-I-N, din, this is not an Arabic word. This is an Urdu word. And it simply means a 24-hour day. Din. Aaj kaisa acha din hai. What a nice day it is today. Okay, if you say it. Okay? But the word in Arabic is din. Same spelling, D-I-N, but on the I, there is a bar. To indicate that this is a long vowel sound, deen. So deen is religion. And in our farmans and write-ups, it is always this word which is used. But it is always pronounced in Urdu. And it's confusing, right? It doesn't give the correct meaning. So it helps to have some knowledge of our languages, right? So this is Maliki Yawmiddin, the Lord or the Master of the Day, Yom of religion, literally, religion. And in the Holy Quran, this expression comes in a variety, yeah, variety of ways. For instance, you will come across the word Yawmil Akhir, Yawmil Akhir. Now, let me see where do I have that Yawmil Akhir. It's in Surah 4, 136. Surah 4, ayat 136. And I will just read it out to the section which is important. Yeah, now I can read out the whole of it. All you who believe in Allah and His Messenger and the Scripture which he has revealed unto his messenger, and the scripture which he revealed before aforetime. And whoso disbelieveth in Allah and his angels and his scriptures and his messengers and the last day, he verily has wandered far astray. Yes? So that last bit, it's in a negative frame, he who disbelieves. So you, in other words, believers are asked to believe in how many things? Allah, note it down. So you have to believe in Allah and in his malaika, angels, in his kutub, books. This is not the word kitab, it's plural, kutub. So books and his messengers, prophets, was yom al-akhir, in the last day. See, so you have the yom, the day, and you have the word akhir. And then elsewhere in the Quran, and I'm not going to give you references, right? This is enough here. There is also the word yom al-hisab, the day of the reckoning, right? Oh, many, many words in the Quran for this particular day. So now we have to understand, what is this day? The day of judgment or the final day? So we have to understand it in two different ways. On a collective level, the whole of the inhabitation, the whole of the inhabitants of the earth, right? In a collective sense, and also in an individual sense, because every individual, we have said, is a personal world, right? So this has to be understood in two ways. And it is a little bit complicated, because I appreciate that you haven't had the type of learning which I have had. So I'm going to try and make it quite simple for you, right? Okay. So the first point is that in the Ismaili understanding of things, we have cycles of time. Cycles of time. You know, the very first book which the Institute of Ismaili Studies published is a translation of the book of the very famous French scholar, Henri Corbin. Yeah? Henry Corbin in English. Henri Corbin. And this book is entitled Cyclical Times and Ismaili Gnosis. I think some of you may have heard of this book. Cyclical times. And where do Ismaili get this idea of cycles of time? From the Holy Quran itself. Because the Holy Quran says that Allah created creation in 6 days. And on the seventh day, He establish himself on the throne. How many days does that total? 7. And very interestingly, we should also know this, that story of creation is also in the New Testament, the Bible, and it is also in the Old Testament, the Torah. So it is not specific to only Muslims and the Quran. This is shared by the entire Abrahamic tradition of Jews, Christians, and Muslims. But the point is, how is it interpreted? How is it interpreted? Very, very interesting how it is interpreted. So what do the Jews interpret this as? They interpret it as Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, these are the days when you should work. But on Saturday, it's your Sabbath, and you must not work. You have to rest, because according to them, that was the day of God's resting, Saturday. So they do all their cooking, etc. on Friday. You know that. I think those of you who are Jewish friends, you already know these things. But you may have wondered, okay? And on Saturday, Orthodox Jews that are very, you know, adhere to their beliefs very much. Of course, modernization has affected everybody. Secularization has affected everybody. So, those who are staunch, they will not work on Saturday. Okay? Let's take the Christians. So the Christians have the same, except the day is different. For them, Sunday is the day of rest, of going to church. You should know, all of you, that there was a time, if you go into the documents, you will see that people, you know, charitable people throughout Britain have endowed many parks and sports grounds to the nation. And in all their endowments, it was stipulated, no games on a Sunday. You cannot play games on a Sunday. Now, I want you to, I don't know how many of you remember, 1979 visit of Maulana Hazir Imam. He was with us for an entire week. Yeah. On Sunday, he said to the Jamaat, I'm giving you the gist now, okay, and not the exact words. Mola Bapa said, today, the society amongst whom you live today, for them, today is a day of rest. And then Mola Bapa said, I shall be most unhappy if my Jamaat also thinks this is a day of rest. It is not a day of rest. And you know, this was 1979. And it was the time when I was preparing to leave Britain for Canada. When I came back in 82, everything had changed. All sports grounds, swimming pools, everything was open on a Sunday. All shops were open on a Saturday, Sunday. In fact, we had now 24-hour shops and 24-hour petrol stations and 24-hour everything. We need to link things, right? Why did the Imam say that? The more knowledge we have, the more we understand the Imam's guidance. Because in the Ismaili Tariqa of Islam, these 7 days are not these physical days of 24 hours each. For us, the 6 days are the six cycles or periods or ages or epochs of the six great prophets. Hazrat Adam, Hazrat Noah, Hazrat Abraham, Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Isa, and Hazrat Nabi Muhammad Mustafa. 6 days, six cycles, each one approximately 1,000 years long. Yeah? And what is our history? That Prophet Muhammad is the final prophet of God. It's in the Quran, Khatim al-Nabi. He is the final prophet. Prophethood comes to an end, and the cycle of Imam-e-Mubin begins. That's the seventh day for us. And our numbering is also different. For us, Hazrat Adam is Sunday, Hazrat Nuh Monday, Abraham Tuesday, Hazrat Musa Wednesday, Hazrat Isa Thursday, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad Friday. Maybe that has something to do with why Muslims give so much importance to Friday. And Saturday is the day of the Imam-e-Mubin. And in Ismaili writings, this day is also called Shamba. In East Africa, we used to have that Shamba. We also call it the day of resurrection. We call it the cycle of Qiyamah. We call it the cycle of Imam-e-Mubin. Because prior to Nabi Muhammad Mustafa, the Imams were not manifest. They were working behind the scenes, behind the prophets. So this Maliki Yawmiddin is about the seventh cycle, the cycle of resurrection, right? The cycle of Qiyamah. And in the Quran, you know, in the Batin, there are indications, right? That like other planets, our own planet here, and you can all see the beginning of this, right? I think, is that if we don't watch out and we are not careful and our governments don't take action, this planet can also end up like the other planets. Bare, rocky, without water, destroyed. And of course, then when that happens, and we, none of us know when that will happen, it's certainly not in our lifetimes, then that will be a time of collective day of judgment. All the human beings of the planet Earth at that time will all be affected. Okay? So this is the collective side. Now, the more important for us Batin Ismailis is the individual side. What does it mean in terms of each one of us? Because we are a personal world. That is, for me, far more interesting, because that is something we can totally do something about. It is in our power, because it concerns us as individuals. What does it mean? It means that in the Ismaili Tariqa, the Imam who has a special the special attribute of Rahim, spiritual and intellectual nourishment, he guides us, as it is said in the preamble of the constitution, the Imam's ta'lim lights the murid's path to spiritual enlightenment and vision. The Imam's ta'lim lights the murid's path to spiritual enlightenment and vision. So, for every Ismaili who has, you know, reached a certain age, who has been gifted, blessed with the gift of Isme Azam, Bol, Barakam, Kare Buzurg in Farsi, Baitul Khayal, if we can follow absolutely the guidance of the Imam, if we can all transform our animal soul, our nafse ammara, as it is called in the Quran, if we can transform it by the use of our intellect, akal, and progress to the level of nafse mutmainna, the satisfied soul, then all, each one of us, it is open for us to reach the light of the Imam in this physical lifetime. We can become what we call as-salmewasi. We can merge in the light of the Imam while we are in this body. If you find that a bit difficult, then take the example of Pir Sadruddin. Take the example of Pir Hasan Kabiruddin. Take the example of Pir Nasir Kisra, or Sayyidina Al-Muyaddin bin Shirazi, or Sayyidina Hasan bin Tabba. All of these great luminaries, the stars of the Ismaili firmament, they had all done that. They had all merged in the light of the Imam while they were still living in this body. And after that, look at their record of achievements. So if we can do that, but for that there are quite a few conditions, like absolute farmanbardari, absolute. Not the sort of farmanbardari which, you know, as Imam has very gently told us, our faith must be a faith of conviction, not of convenience. Not that type of practice. Rigorous, you know, in the Golden Jubilee, Maulana Hazimam said, if you cannot practice your faith as rigorously as you should, at least take a tasbih. He said that in London. I remember these phrases really well. Okay, so rigorous practice of faith, people have done it. They have done what is called in our tariqa, die before death. Yes, they have done what is called die before death, which is the hadith of the Holy Prophet, mutu qabla antamut, die before death, meaning die the death of the carnal soul, and wake up, revive in the life of intellect, of spiritual enlightenment. So if a mu'min does that, then the day he or she achieves that is the yawmid din, or yawmil akhir, or yawmul hisab. That is the day, right? And of course, the Imam is the Lord of that day. It is through his guidance, through his ta'lim, through his nourishment, through his sustenance, that you reach that level. So now, in from Rahman to now, to Maliki Yawmiddin, we have several headings, don't we? We have the heading of mercy, physical, spiritual mercy. This you will find throughout the Quran. Then you will find concept of the Maliki Yawmiddin, i.e. the kingdom of God, that is throughout the Quran. And you have the concept of resurrection, time, collective or individual, and that is called resurrection, and that is throughout the Quran. In fact, our Ikhwan al-Saffa, in their writing said that the word, that resurrection in its different grammatical formations is mentioned in the Quran 1700 times. So this is, and you know, that Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shaikh used to put so much emphasis on inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, from him we are and to him we return. And he is supposed to have said that this one ayat of the Quran contains the wisdom of the entire Quran. That is the mission of a Ismaili born at this time. We have to achieve that. Individual resurrection, individual qiyamah. Rosmin, I think this is also a point where I should stop, because it's now 5 to 1 anyway, and I don't want to bring in another concept, right?